Quick question. Raise your hand if you have keys to this church building. Chances are, if you have a key to this church, you're given it because you have taken some kind of leadership role in the church. Perhaps you teach Sunday school and need to get here a little early to prepare the craft for the children in your class. Maybe you help with hospitality and brew the coffee in the morning or provide food for a funeral. Some who have a deep affection for the worship space are good at making things look just so. Or maybe they help to prepare the communion meal, and so they are given a key. Are you like Hyun-Kyun? Are you good with technology and able to set up our audiovisual equipment? You've got a key then. Do you teach ESL class? You surely have a key. Are you handy? Can you plunge a toilet? Chances are you've been given a key too. Session knows that over the years, probably too many keys have been floating around for this building. And while I agree that we need to develop a better lock and key system that can balance volunteer access with building security, I am delighted that so many laypeople have enough of a sense of responsibility to this building and to this community that they have been given keys to this church. When Simon Peter answered Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" with a confession of faith, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," Jesus calls him by name, Petros, Peter, which means rock in Greek, and then tells Peter, "On this rock I will build my church." Jesus then hands Peter the metaphorical keys to heaven, saying to him, "What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, before you let so much power get to Peter's head, let me tell you a couple things. I've looked at the Greek, and I've looked at other English translations of the same passage, and have found that verse 19 can also read, "Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven." In other words, instead of God and all the angels rushing around in heaven to do everything they see Peter doing on earth, I think Jesus sees that Peter will have the inclination or desire to do things on earth as they have already been done in heaven. I like to think of the line in the Lord's Prayer here, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So maybe Peter has figured out that "on earth as it is in heaven" part. I also think that any of us can be Peter. Any of us can be gifted with those metaphorical keys. Remember, even though we recall Peter as a devoted disciple, he was far from perfect. He is like, kind of like that guy in the church who volunteers for the church choir, and then everybody realizes he doesn't know how to sing at all. He jumped out of the boat onto the water to walk on it, just like Jesus had, and then he freaked out and started to sink. He's passionate, but not very practical. He often speaks before he thinks about what he will say. After Jesus' crucifixion, this man who had so many times declared his fierce love and commitment to Jesus, denies to the authorities that he had ever known the man because he was scared. And yet, Jesus chose him, as he will also choose us. Peter will not be the last to be given heaven's keys, and he was not the first one either. For what Peter lacked in practicality, the Hebrew midwives had a double serving of. These women were shrewd and quick on their feet. In Exodus, we hear of a time when the Pharaoh no longer had respect for the descendants of his advisor Joseph, whose visions and wisdom had saved Egypt from famine that had swept the land. As the Hebrew population grew, Pharaoh feared that they might build an army. They might overpower him. And so, he devised a policy that the Hebrews would become part of a slave caste. He made their lives bitter with oppression and hard labor. Still, the Hebrew population multiplied, and so Pharaoh devised his program for genocide. Each male Hebrew baby would be put to death. I think Layla's shrieks at this story are really appropriate. Pharaoh's mistake, though, was that he assumed it was just the men he had to fear. Turns out, the women in this story were Pharaoh's real downfall. Several women in this story must have held the keys to heaven. And what they saw as binded on heaven were something that they saw bound on earth. They sought to bind on earth. And what they saw as loosed on heaven, they sought to loose on earth. The midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, were directly told by Pharaoh to kill those baby boys. But they knew God had a different program. God's program was different from Pharaoh's program. God's program was one of liberation, not of domination. And these women, Shiphrah and Puah, feared God. And so, they banked on Pharaoh's own racism. Well, you know those Hebrew women. They aren't like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before we can even get to them. How many times have we heard or said that? Well, you know how people from the South are. You know how Koreans are. You know how Latinos are. When I was a teenager in the South, I was 18 and I took my first trip to New York City. I really liked it and imagined it might be fun to live in New York City someday. But I told myself, I could never date a New Yorker. They probably all have diseases, I thought. Fast forward 5 years, when I first met Chris, who was right out of Queens. The rest is history. So the Hebrew midwives were very clever in tricking Pharaoh into believing that they could not possibly act fast enough to deliver the Hebrew babies into their death. Those women were practically like animals, just popping babies out. But Pharaoh persisted and commanded his people to throw the Hebrew baby boys, into the Nile River. Pharaoh persisted, and still, the women who had the keys to heaven resisted. Another Hebrew woman gave birth to a baby boy and hid him under his cooing until his cooing and crying could no longer be contained. Then she put him in the basket, lined it so it would be waterproof, and placed him in the Nile. Her daughter Miriam, the baby's brother, watched from the reeds to see what would happen. Turns out, Pharaoh's daughter was also given the keys to heaven. She was bathing in the river and saw the boy crying. She could be called a race traitor, perhaps, because even though she knew he was a Hebrew baby and she was a Pharaoh, or she was an Egyptian, even though she knew this baby was one of Pharaoh's hated enemies, she protected the baby. And the baby's sister, Miriam, who was clever and quick, offered their own mother as a nurse for the baby. And Pharaoh's daughter paid this woman to nurse her own son. When he was weaned, he was returned to Pharaoh's palace, to Pharaoh's daughter to live in the palace, and she gave him the name Moshe. And Moshe in Hebrew means to draw out of water. To understand how subversive Pharaoh's daughter was, imagine Ivanka Trump taking a Mexican child out of a detention center where he is staying with his mother, and then hiring his own mom, and in doing so preventing her deportation, to take care of him, even in a time when Ivanka's father, the president, commands lawmakers to build that wall. In just two stories, we see many people who hold heaven's keys. Peter, Shifra, Pua, Moses' mother, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter. And baby Moses will grow to hold heaven's keys too, as he leads the Hebrew people toward God's liberation from Pharaoh's slavery. These are people who grasp some sort of vision of who God is and what God calls us to do to make earth a little bit more like heaven, a place of justice and compassion, if this story is any reflection of what heaven might be up to. I suspect there are some people in this church who have knowingly avoided getting a key to the church at all costs. They don't want to get called to let in the AA group at night, or to check on a leak, or to balance the church's checkbook, or any of that stuff. I won't ask you to out yourself. But you're not dummies. You know that with the possession of the keys comes great responsibility, and you're not sure you're ready for that just yet. "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asked the disciples. Tough question. I think many people in this room would struggle as well to answer that question. I also guess that one of the reasons that this question is so hard to answer is because once we answer it, we have to respond to it. If we know Jesus, our lives have to be different. We cannot go on living and accepting the world as it is. Once we have been granted the keys to heaven, we have to work for the world as it should become, according to how we come to know God's vision on heaven and on earth. There are many heavenly keys floating around out there, even here on earth. One just might have your name on it. Will you receive it? May God's blessing be on you and whatever it is you might unlock. Amen. Amen.